parenthood's a beautiful thing, but you have to have community. They don't say that it takes a village for no reason.
You're listening to the Grow Yourself, Grow Your Marriage podcast. Chris and Jonna are parents of three, life and business partners who share their personal development techniques so you can grow yourself and grow your marriage.
Chris and Jonna here with the Grow Yourself, Grow Your Marriage podcast. This is
episode 21.
Man, we're getting there, aren't we?
We're like real podcasters now.
Pretty much. Just to let you guys know, the average amount of episodes a podcaster does before shutting down is 27. If we make it to 28, just give us a thumbs up on, Instagram or something like that. Do they do thumbs up? No, probably not.
Wow. You're not even 30 yet. You're showing your age.
I know. It's true. Guys, today's episode, we are talking all about how friendships can change after marriage and kids. And this is one in specific that a listener reached out and they were like, can you guys please do an episode on this? And we know from experience, first of all, we feel very qualified to speak about this because, well, we're 6 years into marriage now and we have three kids. And so here we are.
Yeah, I mean, no matter what stage in life you're in, obviously circumstances change, but I feel like this is a time, and this is what this one listener and I, her and I were talking about, because she's a new mom and she's like, hey, can you talk about how different friendships are when you become a mom and, you know, your core friend group doesn't have kids yet? And that's something that so many of us experience, and it's challenging.
It is really challenging. I would say for us guys personally, it was harder on Jonna than it was on me at this point in time. First off, when you have the baby, the hormones are raging. I know she's mentioned to me, and she can say it best, but basically it changes not only the physiology of your body, but it also just kind of makes you feel like you're living a different life. Is that kind of accurate?
Well, yeah. I mean, you become a whole different person literally basically overnight, unless some of you poor mamas who labor for like days. But, you know, the time, like right after the baby comes out, suddenly you're not pregnant anymore, but you're also not independent of yourself anymore. Like, you're this whole new person. And so with that obviously comes a lot of, like you said, physical and mental changes. But suddenly, you know, your friends who, you know, especially if you're a young mom, your friends who are still single or maybe not married yet, who want to go out on the fly, don't understand, you know, you can't just do it.
They don't understand the complexities that come with spontaneity after you
have
kids.
There's no such thing anymore. Yeah. Or just, I don't know. There's so many things. Just the dynamics change. They're doing something different than what you're doing. And I feel like at any stage of life, when people who you've been friends with for a long time are no longer doing the same thing as you, it's hard to hold on to that same level of a relationship because you don't understand each other as much anymore.
Yeah. So what we're going to do during this episode that I think is kind of unique is we're going to take you guys through some of the changes we've had personally from kid one, kid two, kid three, and on, right? And the idea here is, because we feel like we're qualified to speak about this with these changes, maybe it's something you're going through. And first off, I think it's important for you to realize, you know, 9 times out of 10, your problems really aren't that unique. A lot of people have gone through these things. So we're with you if you're in that stage feeling in the ways that we're going to speak about. So, babe, let's start with kid one, Lola. What were some of the major changes?
Well, actually, take it all the way back to marriage.
Okay, fine.
I mean, when we got married, I kind, you know, we became one. And even prior to marriage, you know, sometimes I think that one person in the relationship changes something about you, you know. So, for instance, I was kind of in a different stage of life when I first met Chris. And Chris actually is somebody who led me to finding a relationship with God. So that kind of changed the dynamic of my friendships and just who I was in general, not because he changed me, but because he influenced me in a positive way. So I think that a lot of times relationships can go one way or the other, but you're influenced by the person that you're with.
And what's interesting about that is now that some of her friends who initially didn't accept the changes she was going through have moved into similar stages that we're in, they've reached out. And they've been a little more like, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize what it was like to have kids. I didn't get it. And the reason I want to bring that up is because I'll never forget when Jonna was like 27 and we just had Lola, and she was just like, I just feel like I have no friends. I feel like I don't have anybody, you know, I can count on or talk to about how I'm feeling outside of just you. And you know, obviously my close family.
Well, I had one. Me and Brittany
okay.
would always talk about, sorry to call you out, Britt, we would always talk about, because we kind of have been in the same stages of life together. We got married around the same right. time. We both had three girls back to back, and it's right. always been us, but we've always been like, we only have each yeah. other to pour into. We don't have like a community, but sorry, go ahead.
Right. No, yeah.
I don't want Brittany to be listening
that
to
that.
That
is
like,
true. Well, she's cool also my cousin, so.
Yeah, she's family
too. I was putting her in the family box, but yeah, so I just remember those conversations of like, I need community. I need it. And then I remember how wise I was back then yeah. saying like, don't worry, babe, people are going to catch up to our season. Like they're going to get it. They're going to see it. They just don't get it right now.
Well, like we always say, you don't know until you know. And I know even my close childhood friend had children really young. So we were, I was in college when she told me that they were pregnant with their first. And so now while we're still friends, she's got two boys and they're teenagers, and now we have a bunch of little girls and they're toddlers. So it still makes it challenging because we'll always consider each other friends, but you know, it makes it really challenging in this stage of life to actually have enough things in common to spend time together. Or, you know, her kids are always off doing their sports stuff and mine still take naps, and it's just really hard sometimes to maintain friendships through different seasons when you're not around people who are in the same stage as you.
Yeah, you're dead
and
right.
I would say somebody listening is probably like, yeah.
Right. They're like, yeah, so tell me, so what's the light at the end of the tunnel? I think the light at the end of the tunnel is just realize more than likely if their life moves in a traditional manner, they're going to be where you are, and they'll probably message you later on and be like, oh, I'm so sorry I wasn't there for you. And then,
yeah, because a lot of times yeah. we take it personally. Like,
yeah,
I know I was super hurt and offended that my non-parent friends, you know, stopped inviting me to things.
Or didn't even meet the baby.
Or maybe didn't meet the baby. And it's because they didn't get it. And I actually now totally... Because I was the same way with my other friend, my childhood friend. You know, you just, it's not a personal. So somebody's listening probably right now. I'm like, yes, I feel this way. I feel like my non-parent friends aren't supporting me as a mom. They don't know how to. And it's not your fault.
Dang, nice.
And yeah, it's not your fault. They don't not love you and your kids. They just don't know who this new identity is. And I think change is scary for all of us. And so whether it's a conscious thing or a subconscious thing, they don't know how to be there for you as a mom just yet. So, or dad, but you know, don't beat yourself up and don't let this loneliness consume you or make you feel like it's your fault, because parenthood's a beautiful thing, but you have to have community. They don't say that it takes a village for no reason. So if you are in this stage where you're one of the first ones of your friends to have kids and you're feeling that loneliness of, you know, they don't understand, or you know, maybe you take your toddler to the next little group outing and they're acting crazy and you feel embarrassed because you feel like your friends are judging you because they don't get it. So they don't get it. You got to get around people that have crazy toddlers too.
They are judging you, just to let you know.
They are. And then when they have toddlers, they're going to look back and be like, oh gosh, I can't believe I judged them. It's just a cycle that I feel like we all go through.
The karmatic parenting will come in.
Yes. Because that was a really hard time for me to feel like I didn't know where I fit in anymore. I didn't know really who I was.
Or like, oh, I can't believe I'm going to get invited to that wedding would just be the straw that broke the camel's
back. Yeah, it's hurtful because you just don't know why, because all you did, you know, you feel like you should still be the same person, but you're really not. You don't have the freedom you used to. And honestly, I know a lot of things I didn't care about anymore after I had kids, because, you know, you have this new perspective on life.
Yeah. Now let's talk about how your friend probably looks at you and why it's not working also. So I think, first off, you probably don't realize how much you talk about your kid. If you have one kid, you probably don't realize how much you just talk about your kid. And they're probably like, all right, I get it.
You probably scare them out of having kids if you tell them all the horror stories.
Probably, right? So while your friend who has not reached this point yet to, you know, selflessly give themselves up for another human, they don't get it yet, right? And all they know of you is you're sitting there, probably not maybe as cool as you were to them, because all you're talking about is your kid. And it's not that you can really change a whole lot of that. Maybe, I guess, a little self-awareness, like, hey, I need to be a little more...
Well, knowing that it's okay, yeah. Not that you should never, like, you should talk about your kid and tell your friends about your joys and stuff, but you should also know that, like, it's okay for you to separate yourself and have a little you time.
Yeah.
If you do get a chance to go out with a friend.
That is good advice. If we went back in time, I feel like that would be important advice for us. So yeah, just remember, it's not all one-sided, like, it's their fault. Yeah, they'll meet you where you're at, but ultimately, you have to realize what got you into this friendship in the first place, kind of assessing your current relationship and realizing that you can also kind of tweak some things you're doing as mom or dad, and hopefully keep the friendship going.
Oh yeah. Looking back, I definitely see now, cause yeah, I'm not blaming in the time I felt, you know, oh, poor me. But looking back, it's like, well, I half the time didn't want to go anywhere anyways and leave my kids. So it's this whole cycle again of just, but I think I need to say too, if you are lucky enough to have friends who don't have kids that support and love you, because we do, we have a couple who does not have kids yet, but they have always been there for us and loved on our kids like their own and understood where we're at, which is great. They come to us. They're amazing. Love them. So if you are fortunate enough to have people like that in your corner, that even if they're not in the same stage of life as you, they still support and love you, like, hold on to those people and make sure you're being aware of loving them back, because I'm sure it can be hard to see, like, I'm sure it's hard to see your friend have a kid and then not have time for you anymore too, or have to always be on there in their child's schedule.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So hopefully that's a good way to, like, kind of show you the teeter totter goes both ways. It's not just like the fat kid sitting on one end. Was that good? Did you like that? I'm not sure it made sense either. So let's talk about how multiple kids changes the game.
Well, just like we're saying, in a different stage, you know, when you have one kid and your other friend has one kid, it's kind of easy to talk about what your one kid's doing, and you guys can kind of throw your one kid in the car and go places and go on the play dates and go to the museum, go to the zoo. Then suddenly you have two or three like us. And
let's just start with two.
Oh, well, I mean, two and plus, it just starts to make it, you're outnumbered. So going places on play dates with your friends, you're like, it's not as easy. You're like, hey, I can't really fit my triple stroller through those doorways.
You just went to three.
Because it's not that much different, okay, because fine. You're still outnumbered.
We'll go one, two, and three. Two and three was way different for me personally. Maybe someone out there with okay, two fine. Kids go, is like, whatever. I'm just saying, I feel like if we take it one step at a time, it'll be a little more relatable. So two kids for me personally was, okay, now as the dad, I can't just put everything on mom. I got to have one in my lap too. So that was a game changer. We have our kids really close together. I guess that's our favorite thing to do. but basically also with two kids, there's then a level of like, well, you're friends with one kid. They don't get what it's like to have two kids. So you almost have this like little pompous attitude, like, well, I have two of what you have.
Double the trouble,
double the cleanup, double the chaos, everything. And so I think in the same respect, kind of going back to the one kid thing, it's important for us to reflect and be like, well, we have to remember what we were like with one kid. Can you not cough while I talk?
Shut your mouth.
I'm just kidding. So we were... We now look back and think, oh, you know what? We remember what it was like to have one kid. And so we try not to be too pompous and funny about it.
No, I mean, I would always say you only know your own hard. So when you have one kid, because we've had one kid, it was hard.
Can you stop coughing?
I'm joking. So when we only had one kid, that was our hard. That's all we knew. And then we had two kids. And then we look back and like, oh, one kid was easy. You know, and then two kids was hard. And we had three kids and we're like, okay, one kid was a cakewalk and two kids, at least we each have one. And now we're completely outnumbered. So I would never down somebody else's level of hard. So I don't think we'd say that like pompous like that, because it's only relative to what you know,
yes.
But relative to ourselves, we look back at ourselves with one kid and we're like, oh gosh, we had no idea what this would be like.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
but it does make it hard.
Yeah. Okay.
No. Well, but it does make it hard when you are hanging out with other people who have one kid who, you know, I know when I only had one, I was very protective, a lot more protective and a lot more careful and a lot more everything. And now that we have three, I'm a lot more like, yeah, eat that off the floor. You'll be fine. You didn't have lunch. Well, like,
right. And now we'll have friends over and it's like you hear this massive thud upstairs and then like all the parents jump up and see what's wrong. And like our
we
give
just
a dang.
Keep talking.
Yeah. Our give a dang meter is just like, it's
well,
it's
we're,
totally different
we're literally
than used to be.
Just used to thuds all day. But like right. We were watching this comedian last night and he was talking about how, yeah, when you have one child and you hear like a thud, you guys panic or, you know, they cough and you're like, are you okay? Are you okay? And then you have three and you're like, just kind of wait till
they're
they
fine.
Change colors well, to see if they're trying.
Right. And you also realize how resilient, like their little bodies and durable they are. Right. So you're just like, actually they're going to be okay. So that's always nice. But anyway, I think the whole point here is as things change through friendships, you know, through marriage, through kids, you're not alone. Like, we've been through this stuff. So if you're feeling this way, just understand, like, we get it. We've been there. We've felt that. And I think more than anything, Jonna can speak to just feeling like, oh, man, no one gets what I'm going through. Because I think you mentioned the other day, babe, like, it's like when after you're married and you have kids, it's almost like you're like dating with friends. You're figuring out what friends work, what friends don't. Oh, that person's weird. I thought they were cool. Maybe not. Like, can't be around my baby. Like,
what?
Just, I don't know. Like, for me, I'm like way more selfish with my time. Like,
well, yeah.
I remember after we had Lola, John would be like, hey, let's go on a date with this couple and just see what's up. And I'd be like, just not super pumped up. Like, I'd give them a try, but for me, I became a little bit more like, I want to make sure the people that are around us are, you know, really a part of a core group that have the exact same, you know, everything.
Well, I think that's another point to make is that friendships in life, especially adulthood, really, it does become like a dating game because, you know, you have a personality type that you have either friends from before we were married or from work or something. And then I have friends, but that doesn't mean that you drive with my friend's husband or I drive with your friend's wife. So then you have that awkward, like, yeah, we're going to do a double date, even though it's like, oh, we don't have a lot in common, but I'll make it work because you guys are friends, you know? And so it is, it's hard. It's like a dating game to find friends that you can mesh with on lots of different levels. Like, both of us get along with both the husband and wife. And, you know, we're in the same stage as far as kids and the kids are the same age. And, you know, that's a very hard thing to find. That's something we didn't have except for on a small level because some of our friends were dispersed, you know, are dispersed throughout the state. So we haven't, that's something I always longed for was community nearby where we live now, where we've settled, that got it, that we got along, that we could say, hey, you guys want to just come over? Friends that you didn't have to worry about, judging you if your house isn't clean or if your kids are jumping around like wild maniacs and stuff. So I think that's something that not everybody has that I definitely wanted for a lot of years.
Yeah, so I think that's a good point because where we're at now is we have this like criteria of the people we hang out with because time's so limited, right? You can make money, but you can't buy time and that kind of sucks. So here's the idea for us. Our criteria is if you're in a similar season as us, you are going to be a lot easier to hang out with because if you don't have any kids, it doesn't matter if you think we would be cool, you would not want to hang out with us for more than an hour. Like, okay, guys, see ya.
Unless you're Uncle James.
Uncle James and Keisha, right? If you have one kid, you still wouldn't want to hang out with us. But two or three,
you might want to hang out with us because you're like, all right, I'm not the only one that has crazy kids.
Right. And the other thing is we need people to be, you know, we need to surround ourselves with like-minded people. Jim Rohn has that famous quote, you know, you are the average of the five people you spend the most time with. And gosh, that is so true now for us.
Yeah. And I want to make sure we're clear. We're not saying we have to be like these robots who believe and agree on every single thing.
No.
When you say like-minded, we mean, you know, we personally, you know, we're Christians and we want to grow in our relationship with God. And therefore, you know, we hope that the people that we spend a lot of time with also are on that path of growing their relationship with God, or people that care about their marriage because we care about our marriage, or, you know, those kinds of like-minded things. And I want to rewind for a second and be extra clear about this whole episode. We're talking about friendships and community that you spend your time with. We're not talking about in general, like only giving people the time of day that believe the same as you, yeah, or have the same amount of kids as you, or, you know, we're just talking about the time and energy you put into relationships. And still, again, we're also, I mean, we have friends who don't have kids that we are so close to and we adore. So they don't have to be in the same season as you.
But they don't come over much.
They don't know that they live. They have their own lives.
Right.
So yeah, they don't have to be in the same season. It just makes it easier for understanding and for...
It makes it easier to build a village.
To build a village, yes. Even though they are part of our village.
Right.
But there's not many of those that really get the life... the crazy life we're in right now.
Right.
So yeah, I just wanted to make sure that was clear because I have plenty of people who I still consider friends, yeah, who may not fit into these criteria. This is for people that you surround yourself with on a regular basis. So Chris said they should be in a similar season, pretty like-minded. Another important thing for us is they gotta love our kids. There's few things as beautiful to me as people who don't have to love our kids, but do like that, like really... Really?
Shout out to James and Keisha.
I know.
Again.
Let's just shout them out again because they make me emotional with how good they are with our children.
Yeah.
And then people that hold us accountable. You have to have the close type relationships in your life. You have to be able to communicate with without judgment or fear of criticism or fear of backlash. You have to be able to be open to a friend coming to you and saying, hey, you know, whatever it is, I need you. You need. I don't know. I can't think of an example off the top of my head, but.
Well, I will say this. So when it comes to holding accountable, like we talked about in episode 7 and 8, the uncomfortable conversations, I feel like we get back there a lot because the fact of the matter is where I'm at in my life and where Jonna is at in her life and us as a collective couple, we really do want people around us that will let us know when we are not doing the things we need to do, right? Holding us accountable, that are okay with taking the same backlash if it's something that we feel like they can be growing in, and ultimately that we are not afraid to understand each other's intentions and have uncomfortable conversations, because there are a lot of things like, hey dude, like personally I know that, you know, you lied about that and that's awkward, right?
Yeah.
But it's like, dude, like why would you do that, right? But I think it's important because most people wouldn't do that, right? So if I did something and someone didn't come to me and tell me because they were afraid of what I would think, then they're not as close to me as they think.
Yeah, that's good. But those are things that are hard to talk about. But I think you hit the nail on the head with intention. Understanding the other person's intention is such a big deal in any relationship. You know, we've talked about that in the marriage setting, but in friendship settings too. I have a close friend who, you know, her and I are able to tell each other like, hey, it hurt my feelings when you didn't, you know, you canceled plans on me. Like I was really excited about that and you just backed out last minute and like that hurt my feelings. Like, do you think that's comfortable for her to say, or she really feels like saying that? No, but she knows that I'm going to receive it and be like, I know that she's not attacking me or trying to say I'm a bad person. She's letting me know how she feels. And I'm really appreciative of that relationship because we are able to call each other when we feel hurt or frustrated. And I think that's a really important quality in relationships that are close to you and that a lot of relationships lack, honestly.
Definitely. So a quick recap from this episode, really. And I feel like we've just been kind of having you guys drink from a fire hose here. Because we're just kind of word vomiting all this on, you know, what we've been through as a couple over the last 6 years and having multiple kids, having them close, and just how seasons have changed and those who may be behind us and understanding them. I think that's the biggest thing that we're focused on. We kind of went through the difference of, you know, kid 1, kid 2, kid 3 for us, and we've talked about the needs that we need from our community now, and the people that kind of fit in our criteria as people we're going to put our time and energy into. And I mean, I think there's something to be said about you guys creating your own list.
So something I think that is important to add to our list and really to everybody's list is you got to have friends that are in your corner. And what I mean by that is people who support you no matter what, people who are going to cheer you on and celebrate you when you do something big in your life or you have a new life addition or moment, you know, anything big in your life, people who are going to feel with you when you are going through something tough, who are going to cry with you or let you cry on them, people who you don't have to be afraid to be yourself with and be open with. Those are the kind of people that I know I need in my life right now. And just people that ultimately are going to help me and likewise I help them go in a direction that is best. And grow. It all comes back to growth and grow. Because think about it. If you are like the five people you spend the most time with, if the five people you're spending the most time with aren't encouraging you to do more and be better and loving you and loving your kids and doing big thing, not they don't have to be big ginormous. They don't have to be big things as in like starting their own business and all this crazy stuff, but just having a general direction for life that is in alignment with you, just even like just with your marriage, being on track with going in the same direction.
Well, I'll stop you. I wouldn't say in alignment with you, but on a growth path, right? So whatever it is, just it doesn't matter if your friend makes way less money than you, as long as they are loving what they do, or way more, right? As long as they are loving what they do and they're growing, they're choosing to grow in what they do. It doesn't matter what the impact level is that they're making, as long as they want to make more impact, you know? And I just think that's the biggest thing. And it's funny that you say that and kind of add that to our list, babe, because I feel like that perfectly wraps it up with a pretty pink bow here, because the biggest thing is, I remember when I was a kid, my dad told me, he said, you know, careful, tax returns and just different things you achieve really separate friendships. And I was like, well, that's really crappy, you know? And I remember a professor in college told me that every single one of her bridesmaids, she was no longer friends with, you know? And she's 45, 50 years old or something like that. And I was like, what? No way. You always think you're the exception. But then when you go through these seasons and you see how these things change, you do realize at the end of the day, as long as your friends are in your corner and our things were, you know, similar seasons, like-minded, loving our kids and holding us accountable. But as long as your friends are in your corner, that's all you need.
Yeah, I would agree. And that's hard to, that's hard to come by sometimes. I mean, we just recently acquired a really great community through, we go to a church called Crossroads, and it's really cool because I was saying for a long time, I really was missing the community aspect of our lives. Like we had friends, but again, you know, there are different places, different stages, whatever. We didn't have a group out here where we live by us that we could just spend time with and learn and grow with. And the church that we go to did this group called A Journey. We randomly decided to host, and now we have a group of four couples and how many kids? Nine?
Well, there's 17 humans total when they come to our house.
Really?
Yeah.
That seems like a lot. Well, regardless, yes, there's four couples and a bunch of kids now that come to our house every week, and we just get to talk and grow together, and our kids get to have fun together, and it's been such a blessing. And I really think that's something that is overlooked in adulthood, especially this busy stage of early marriage and young kids and still trying to focus on figuring out your career. Maybe somebody's still in school. The stage is really a weird transformative. That's what I was trying to say. Okay. This stage is really kind of a weird transformative stage because you're never quite, you're always wondering what the next step is, or, you know, if I'm going to have any more kids, or where are we going to live, or where's my career going to go. And so it's easy to overlook the importance and the need for community. But I've got to tell you, I've been and the place where I felt lonely and we didn't have the community. And I've been in the place where we have been intentional about community and relationships. And it's so much better to have people who to love on you and your kids and to support you and pray for you and cheer you on and all those good things. So with that, I think that something you can actively do from this, after you hear this episode and you're like, okay, yeah, I'm kind of in that place. I'm kind of feeling this loneliness of my friends and family don't get this new life I have. I think one thing you can do is assess your current relationships. Look at who you spend your time with. If Jim Rohn's right, who are the five people you're spending the most time with and how are they affecting you either positively or negatively?
Yeah. And another thing that's, it's hard, but it's distancing yourself from anyone who doesn't support or encourage you or love you or speak life into you. And that's a really tough one because, you know, ultimately, sure, you want to love people, but if they're not lifting you up or in your corner per se, we feel like at this stage, and we're going to keep learning in life, that it's okay to push those people out of your life.
You have to do what's best for you and your family and your relationships. And yes, I believe fully anybody who brings you down or impacts you in a negative way, you don't have to cut them out of your life, especially because I know sometimes that's hard because it's somebody you have a history with or it's a close family member or something. But it's okay for your own self and your own mental health to be like, you know what? This doesn't serve me right now and I'm going to distance myself. But you're not going to know unless you really sit down and assess who you are letting in your circle right now.
Yeah. And lastly, go seek and find community.
Which, again, can be hard to do because it's like almost like dating. Like, I feel like they need a Tinder app for couple seeking friends.
Right.
That would actually be interesting.
There you go.
But could get
weird.
There's
your next idea.
Yeah, right. I've got lots of ideas. So, right. You know, I hope you guys hear our hearts and understand where we're coming from with this. We really, our whole goal is for anybody listening to understand that if you're in a stage where you feel like you're not sure who your friends are anymore, it's normal. It's okay. It doesn't mean that you don't love those people. It doesn't mean you guys aren't friends. You're just in a different stage right now. And it's okay to understand that and start looking for people who
compliment the season of life
you're in. And who understand it and who you can be all these things with.
Yeah, so that's it today, guys. We hope you enjoyed the episode. If you did, please head on over and subscribe. We would love to hear from you. If this is something that has impacted you, when people reach out, gosh, it really pumps us up. We love it. So feel free. Gosh, I think there's a truck out there trying to pull away that's super loud.
Literally a motorcycle.
Oh, sorry. Anyway, so yeah, if you guys liked it, feel free to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And we will see you next week.
Thanks, guys.